Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. Well, God is good. God is good. I have a couple of things I want to share this morning, and I'm going to start with a word of prayer before I lose my chain of thought. But God is amazing, and I will share some things with you about my wife. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you and praise you and give you the glory and the honor. Father, thank you, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father God, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your love for every single one of us, Father. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor because you deserve it all, Father. You deserve it all. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Okay. It is Freedom Friday once again. Okay. And real quick, 2 weeks have passed since Good Friday, 2 weeks of us growing in the Lord. And for my wife, Cindy, I know you guys are asking that question. She's doing really, really well. It's been a journey, but God has this. God has this. All we need to do is just hold on to His promises and the answers will come. Hold on to His word and His promises are being fulfilled. Do not quit. Do not waver. Do not look back, do not turn back, but look forward in the Lord, because God is on the move. First of all, you know, with everything, you know, we have weekly reports that we have to do, weekly checks that we do twice a week. We have to go and do blood work and all that for her, just to check her levels and everything. And yesterday was one of those days. And we got back from Camden, and guess what? A couple of hours later, we had to go back to Camden because they noticed something that needed to be adjusted in her blood. Her blood count was low. But praise the Lord anyway. We got to give praise to God in season and out of season. I know I'm getting out of what I'm supposed to be bringing this morning, but we got to give God praise no matter what. So we went back. And they did a transfusion on her yesterday. We were there at 4:30. We didn't leave the hospital till midnight. We got back home about 1 o'clock in the morning. I slept for 2 hours. I got up and got in the word. And here I am, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to tell you how good the Lord is, because He is Haravashanda. Merciful, He is great, He is wonderful, He is our strength, He is our hope, and I can get off in that, you know, because sometimes, I know I'm getting off the word, but sometimes, you know, we just gotta just trust God, and we just have to just hold on to His promises, because He will sustain you no matter what. He will hold you, He will lift you up, and take care of you, and that's the beautiful thing about Paul. You know, and he's the writer of this Colossians 2. And Paul was always thinking about everybody else. He was always thinking about the church. He was always thinking about us. And that's an example of Christ. Christ has always had you on His mind. The Lord loves you so much, and He's making a way for you. And He's making a way for me. And I don't know what lies tomorrow, But tomorrow doesn't belong to me. I take today, one day at a time, one day. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers, for your thoughts, because Papa Hernandez and Mama Hernandez have been feeling them. You know, that's what keeps us going. I saw my wife last night, and she was laying in the hospital bed, and she had the IV on her with the transfusion, and she's looking at it, and she says, "Well, that doesn't look as bad as I thought, you know." And I said, "Why you say that? Well, when you do dialysis, it looks worse, you know, with all the equipment they have over there. So this is not so." The Lord prepares. The Lord prepares you one step at a time, you know, what you're going through. And I was surprised at her because normally she doesn't want to look at none of that stuff. But that, again, that is the grace of God. That is the compassion of God. That is the love of God that keeps us going. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I really have to get into the word before I get yelled at by the pastors. You know what I'm saying? Because they're watching this too. Anyway, we are in Colossians. Again, thank you so much for your prayers. We are in Colossians 2. And let us begin. And it says, Colossians 2 this morning, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Lucidia, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attending to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone to deceive you with preserved words. For I, though am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfast of your faith in Christ. 6, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through the philosophy and empty deceits, according to the traditions of man, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead body, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. 11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespass and the uncircumcision of the flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, trampling them over them. In 16, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding our festivals of the new moon or the Sabbath, which are shadows of the things to come. But the substance of is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into these things which he has not seen, vanity puffed up by the fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grow in the increase that is from God. 20, Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principle of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things that which perish with the using, according to the commandments of the doctrine of men. There these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humanity and neglect the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Now, basically, you know, the writer of this particular book is the Apostle Paul. You know, it states so in also in Colossians 1:1. The purpose of this particular book that he wrote, you know, it was to correct some false teachings that were coming up in the church. So the church was growing, and Paul had some concerns, you know, and it starts off pretty basic. It starts off at this, says, "For I want you to know what great conflict I have with you in those in Lucia, and for as many as have not seen me." So Paul didn't start this church in Colossians, you know, and he hasn't even visited this church yet. And that's why he says, have not seen my face in the flesh. But yet they haven't seen him, but yet he loves them. He loves it. That's the beautiful thing about Paul, his love for the church. He says that their hearts may be encouraged. So he wanted to encourage them. He wanted to embrace them. He wanted to just support them. He says, being encouraged, being knit together in love, and attending to all the riches and the fullness and awareness of understanding, to the knowledge and mysteries of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures. So Paul here, he was encouraging them that, you know, that their hearts will be knit together, that the hearts will become one. And that is so beautiful, because, you know, when we come together, when we become one, we become stronger. You know, it says, you know, you got a one strength, but if you got two strengths together, it becomes stronger. You got three strengths together, you know, it becomes almost an unbreakable cord. And that's the same thing, you know, for us as believers, we need each other. I survive by your prayers, by what God has done, but also by prayers, because the prayers are felt. Prayers gives us peace, you know, that we know that God hears us and God is on our side. And this is what Paul is trying to tell them, you know, that they should be knitted together. He said that they will be, that they will pull together and understand, you know, the God that they serve. I always say, you got to know the God that you serve. If you don't know him, how can you defend yourself? How can you speak to somebody of his love if we don't know the love of the Father? And it's important to know this love, because in that love, you know, that covers a multitude of sins. And therefore, we got to be able to share and express this love for the Father. Paul also says in Colossians 1:9, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, he's encouraging them here, that they do not cease to pray for you. So Paul here, he's saying, we've been praying for you. I've been praying for you, Cindy. I've been praying for you, Janet. I've been praying for you, Nicole. I've been praying for you, June. I've been praying for you, Patrick. I'm praying, he hasn't seen them. He hasn't seen them, you don't know. But he says that he's been praying for them. How wonderful it is when the church prays for one another and encourages one another, you know. And he says, and to ask that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and understanding. These prayers, you know, were going on for the people, you know, that they were in Colossians, and yet Paul never really knew them. You know, there is always that Paul wanted to encourage one another, and we receive encouragement from one another. And like I said earlier, you know, yesterday was a day that we were running around crazy, 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 you know, stuck in the hospital, you know, to midnight and all that, you know. But God gives us the strength to press on. He gives us the peace to move on. Because in the midst of all of this stuff, well, I'm not upset, you know. I'm not upset. I'm in a place that I don't want to be. But yet again, we're in a journey. This is part of the journey. And the journey sometimes takes us in this directions that we don't want to go, that we don't want to go. But we have to be able to praise God even when we don't feel it at times. We got to be able to worship God, even though sometimes we feel like we are in the valley. And believe me, I've been through many valleys, you know, and many depths. But God is always faithful, and God is always there to help us, to guide us. Paul says in Ephesians 2:4-10, he says, "For God who is rich in mercy," God who is rich in mercy, he sustains us, amen, because of his great love from which he loved us, from which he loves us. God loves you, my people. He loves you. You know, because it even goes as far, you know, in verse 5 of Ephesians 2, he says, "Even when we were dead in trespass, we were made alive together." We were made alive together. If you feel that you're going through a hard time, God is telling you this morning that he has made you alive together with Christ. With Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Wow. Well, that he already has made a way for you. In verse 6, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places." That's God lifting us up. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes, you know, right now I'm in this journey. And whatever this journey takes us, you know, we're just going to go through it. You know, and sometimes if you stay looking at a problem, you know, that's all we're going to see is a problem. But what is the Lord trying to teach us along the journey? What is God trying to show us along the journey? And he's teaching us perseverance. He's teaching us to focus on him, to stand fast. You know, who is this God that we serve? Do we truly believe in him? Do we truly understand who he is? But we only get there by going through these journeys. You know, because Christ himself says, "In this world, you will have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I have overcome the world." You know, so therefore, if Christ is the example, then I need to follow him. I need to have that peace no matter what situation I'm facing, no matter what valley I find myself, because God has made a way. God has paid a price for you and I, for you and I. And at the end here in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works. That's encouragement. God has given you talents for good works. He has given you abilities for good works, for you to do it, you know, which God has prepared. God has prepared this before, you know, beforehand, you know, that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. Whatever God has allowed to happen, wherever role that you find yourself this morning, you know, God is there with you. God is there for you. And God is making a way. He's making a way. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And I just want to encourage you that this morning. That he, you are his workmanship. You know, you're not a failure. You know, you're not just nobody. Don't be saying that you're nobody. You are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, created with purpose. You know, with purpose. You have creation in you. You have the ability to create yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the ability to decree and declare words of life over your family, over your husband, over your wife, over your children. You know, the one thing I learned in this season, I learned even to pray even a lot with more with my wife. You know, every night since we came home, I've been laying hands on her. And every night I pray. Every night I pray. Why? Because that's what I feel God is guiding me to. So I thank God for the day. Thank God for whatever we face that day, you know, and thank God that he's still working. He's still working it out for you. He's still working it out for me. And there's nothing impossible for them that believe in the Lord, for them that wait upon the Lord. You know, that said, the word of God says that he will renew your strength. He will renew your strength no matter where you are at. He says, I am here with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I will walk through you. So I look at that and I say, wow, wow. You know, God, you know, in the midst of all this, Father, as we walk through the valley, as we walk through whatever we got to walk through, I see the Father on one side. I see the Son on the other side. I see an angel before me and the Holy Spirit consuming me, you know, because, you know, he says that he will never leave us. He will never abandon us. And that is a beautiful thing that we know about the Lord, that he is in control. He is in control. And Paul here warns the people about false teachings, about traditions of man. And verses 8 and 9, you know, it says, you know, that they come with words, empty, deceitful words. So we need to make sure that how do we defend ourselves when we face people like this is to know the word of God, is to understand the word of God. And that's why it's important that you spend time with the Lord, that you open up the scriptures and you fill yourself up. Because you know what? In time of need, you know, you don't have time. When you're going through the fire, you don't have time to go and say, well, I'm going through the fire. Let me grab the Bible. Let me grab the Bible. You know, if you're in the fire, you know, that Bible needs to be inside of you, in your heart. That way you can say it. That way you can declare it. That way you can speak it forward. It's not time to look up scriptures when you're in the fire. That's why you got to be, the word of God says, to be ready in season and out of season. You know, you got to make sure that you are ready for that attack, that you are ready to prepare, that you are ready to defend, you know, when this time comes. You know, so therefore, you know, to know God, to understand who he is, you know, because that's found in 2 Timothy 4:2. He says, he starts off, preach the word, you know, preach the word. Excuse me. He says, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and teaching. And teaching. So preach the word, speak the word out. You have the authority to use the word, to speak the word out over your situation, over your circumstances. And also, you know, if you know the word, you can exhort one another. You can lift up one another. You can pray with one another. You know, it's like the hardest thing to do sometimes is when somebody's knocking at your door looking for a word of encouragement and you yourself need encouragement. And you yourself need encouragement. And believe me, that has happened. There have been times that somebody has called or somebody is texting, you know, and I'm in the middle of the valley situation and I'm trying to figure it all out. And they say, well, you know, what am I going to do? Well, you know what I do? I say, breathing in, say, Lord, I depend upon you. This individual needs you. You will give me the words. And what I do, I call, I text, find out what's going on, and I end up encouraging these people. And by the time I finish talking to this individual, I say to myself, well, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? I, you know, things just came out of me. Holy Ghost, hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you know, our counselor, Holy Spirit will remind you, will give you You know, that's why we need to pray. That's why we need to seek the Lord. That's why we need to, the word of God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. You know, and guess what? And when you need the Lord, he's right there. You don't have to pray for a half hour before you feel the presence of God. All you got to do is say, Lord, I need you. And he's there. And he's there. It's sometimes we do too much thinking that it clouds that up a little bit. So we gotta make sure that we clear ourselves up all that and say, Lord, I need you. I need your presence right now. And guess what? The presence of the Holy Spirit is right there, filling you. You know, and it's not by feelings either. You know, it is by faith. It is by opening up your mouth and saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are in this room right now. With us right now, with all my brothers and sisters right now, right there, hallelujah, right there where they're at, Lord God, you are present. You are there. You are there and you are embracing them. You are encouraging them. You are touching. You are healing, Lord God. I thank you for your touch upon them. I thank you for your touch upon them. Thank you, Father God. Because your word is yes and amen, Father. You always come on time, Father God. So we don't serve you in vain, Lord God, because you are so good. You are so good. You are so wonderful. You know, God loves you guys. God loves me. God loves my wife. God loves, you know, loves his children. And yes, we will go through things. And but guess what? We win. Because the word of God says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon. God has the answer. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know. But guess what? I cannot worry about tomorrow. Scripture says that tomorrow doesn't belong to me. But today I choose. Today I choose to praise the Lord. Today I choose to give him the glory and to give him the honor. And it's not because I'm delusional, because I only had 2 hours of sleep last night. You know, it's not about all that. It's not about that, because I feel his presence, hallelujah, fills you up, you know, spiritually. And then that overcomes the physical. He takes care of all that. So when you praise the Lord, even when you don't think you have it, guess what? You do have it, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit will start to move, and the Holy Spirit will start to speak to you. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't say things and God is dying to come out of you. God is dying his words to come out of you. Come on, that's a word for somebody today. That's a word for somebody here today, that God wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you. He says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. I will speak. When you don't know what to say, allow the Spirit to tell you what to say. But all you got to do is pray, you know. And I just want to encourage you that just like Paul here, he was encouraged. This particular chapter has so much information in it, you know, because it talks about, you know, false teachers. It talks about, you know, the pride. It talks about man's tradition, you know, and how we're not supposed to go by that tradition, but know who you are. If you know who you are unstoppable. Because the word of God again says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. But the only weapon that will prosper is the weapon that you give power to, or to whom you give that power to. So therefore, we need to make sure that we focus and that we trust the Lord and that we hold on to his promises to us, and he will take care of us. You know, again, I love Paul. Paul wrote all these letters to the church, and especially this one that he doesn't even know them, and he's speaking to them like he knows them. That's just the love of God that he had for the people, for the church. And we need one another. And again, I just want to emphasize, my brothers and sisters, I know that I went a little bit off this particular message here today, but I wanted to share what God has been doing, you know, and if the journey still goes on. We still have, you know, 2 appointments, you know, every week that we need to go and do testing and all that. And what God is maintaining, God is helping, you know, she's feeling, She's feeling good. She's still in discomfort. But you know what? Your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. You don't pray in vain. Prayers bring results. And I am so grateful for that, for the church that prays together, you know, and you guys do that, because I feel the peace of God. I feel the joy of the Lord, you know, and again, I'm going through all these things with my wife, and we're doing it together. We're journeying this together. And you know, sometimes I look at her, she says, "Hon, you got to stop doing. I said, "No, I got to do it, because that's what I'm here for. That's what God, you know, created me. He created me to be your husband." And guess what? We work together. We pull together. We laugh together, and we cry together. You know, and when we do that, that honors God. And when that honors God, you're going to get through whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter. You're going to get through it. He's still in control. He's still faithful. He's still merciful. And he's still in the creative God that he always was. And he's making a way for you, and he's making a way for me. And I am excited to see what God's going to. This is a miracle time for, you know, for the church. And you got to be expecting it. You got to be expecting. If you don't expect, I have mentioned this before, if you never expect nothing, you're going to get nothing. But when you are expecting and you are thanking the Father and say, "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for my children that are not serving you yet, but they are, Father. In the spirit, they are serving you. And I thank you for that." You know, when you start speaking these words of life, it's going to change the atmosphere. It's going to change the situation. You know, it's going to lift up people in places. And they're going to do things that they don't even know why they're doing it, but they're going to do it. Why? Because you're not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing it. Why? Because you're allowing him, because you're speaking it forward. You know, sometimes we have the Holy Spirit bound, you know, with chains, because we don't allow it, or we have doubts, you know. But, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. We have a sound mind to speak the word of the Lord over yourself, you know, over your family and over your home. I pray that you got some encouragement this morning. I'm encouraged myself. You know, I like to do that. I like to encourage. Sometimes I'm by myself, and I say, okay, self, here it is. Touch myself. Receive it. Ida bashanda. Receive it in the name of the Lord. Receive the touch of the Father. You know, and he fills me up. And he encourages me. You know, and he takes care of me. So again, my brothers and sisters, thank you so much for your encouraging words. Thank you so much for being there. Thank you for answering prayer. Oh, Lord God, you know. So, you know, again, have a blessed weekend, you know, and I'll see you guys soon, all right? And something's happening. Somebody else is in the microphone. Well, let's just have a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for your presence, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for your peace, for your joy, for your strength. I thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters, Father God, and I pray that you will just meet them where they're at. I pray and decree, Father God, life over their homes, their families, their children, their husband, their wives. I speak your peace, and I speak your blessings, O Lord God, upon them. Thank you for this time that you have given us, Father God. And thank you for what you're doing in our lives and our homes, Father. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. And so this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, guys. Thank you so much for everything. God bless. God bless. God bless. Have a blessed weekend, and we see each other soon.